I'm an absolute optimist. And so the one message I would love to leave for everybody is that, you know, we're in the middle of a cycle at the moment, and, you know, it is arguably one of the worst cycles we've seen over a decade, but it will turn. And so, you know, my message is stay the course. We are in this together. My view is that we have a symbiotic relationship with our customers, both REA and agents, and together I think we're going to succeed long past this cycle. It's become history.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to a special edition of the Leadership Diaries, where we're going to get to know a little better the new CEO of REA Group, Owen Wilson. Owen started in the role of CEO in January this year from the role of CFO, which he held for 4 years prior, overseeing all of the group's finance portfolio, operations and mergers and acquisitions. With the industry in a challenging place right now, we're going to hear a bit more from him today on what his immediate goals are for REA Group, where he sees the opportunities in the industry and what the future might look like. And as always, some advice for leaders and aspiring leaders from one of the industry's most experienced team captains. So welcome to the podcast, Owen Wilson.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so first of all, happy birthday. I know it's your birthday today.
Thank you.
And you've been with REA Group for 4 years as CFO, and before that, with some big companies like ANZ and Chandler McLeod and KPMG. So can you give us a short background for those in the industry that might not know you so well on your career up to this point?
Sure. So I went straight from high school to working for BHP. I was lucky enough to get a commerce scholarship. And so BHP put me through my commerce degree at Deakin University in Geelong for 4 years. And when I finished there, I joined KPMG and learned the trade of finance and chartered accounting and got to work on so many wonderful things. And I spent 4 years in Melbourne and 3 years in London and got to work in some amazing places like Russia and Hungary and Poland and places like that through KPMG. I then came back from London and was seconded to ANZ and never went back, and spent 15 years at ANZ doing all sorts of roles. I started in the strategy team. I did a few finance roles. I worked in operations for the investment bank, and I was running, you know, trading rooms in New York and London, which was a fantastic experience. My last job there was running the Asian business for ANZ, the retail banking, credit cards and partnerships business for 3 years, which was fantastic. I looked at after everything from India East. I then joined Chandler McLeod. That was my first listed CFO role. Spent 6 years there. Joined them just in the middle of the GFC, and as a recruitment workforce management company, they were in big trouble. And so between the CEO and myself, we rebuilt the company and grew it to the success that it is today. And it was taken over by Recruit out of Japan, a very large company. And at that time, while that takeover was underway, I got a tap on the shoulder by REA and became CFO here, which was probably the luckiest opportunities I've ever had in my life to join this fantastic company.
What are some of the achievements in the 4 years you've been at REA that you've been most proud of?
Oh, there are so many. I think the big ones that would stand out both internally and externally, I think it's our move into Asia. It's seen as an exciting long-term growth opportunity. I think the evolution of our consumer offering, you know, when I joined, we only just moved into apps. And if you look at our app today and our consumer experience today versus 5 years ago, it's remarkable how far that's come in 5 years. We've also moved out of being into pure listings. You know, we've moved into other services such as financial services, which is a strategy that I was deeply involved in. We've got a lifestyle offering, which is, again, engaging consumers in between their transactions. We know that people are holding onto their houses now for an average of about 10 years versus 7 years a while ago. And so engaging with the consumer in between transactions has been a big evolution in our strategy over that time.
So when presidents are elected in the US, they usually give a speech about what they'd like to achieve in their first 100 days in office. So we're a bit past your first 100 days in the top job at REA, but let's fast forward, say, to the end of this year, to the end of 2019. At Christmas time, what do you hope you're looking back on as achievements for this year?
I think there'll be several. At the moment, the property industry is having a tough time because of the market conditions. And I'd like to think that we are doing a lot to help our customers in that regard. And so when I look back in December, I hope the market has rebounded. I'm fairly confident once we get through this federal election, the Royal Commission's now behind us. I think we've probably got a rate cut coming at some stage this year. I think when we get to Christmas, we're looking back at much better market conditions. And I'd like to think that our customers have seen that we've supported them through these tough conditions and that we've delivered real value to them over the course of the year. I'd like to see our audience still continue to grow. We have an incredibly strong audience. We keep going record visits each month. We're now through 80 million visits per month to our sites. And I'd like to see that growing. We're at 3 times our competition. And again, that lead is expanding. So I'd love to see that lead even bigger at Christmas. And I'd like to see, I think in Asia, we're getting to a tipping point for that business in that the consumers are really starting to see that we are the place to go for property in our key markets, particularly Malaysia, Indonesia and Hong Kong. And I think seeing a greater lead in those markets will also be something I'm looking forward to.
So you just mentioned then that the market has been quite a challenge in the early part of this year, and everything goes in cycles, but challenges often present us with great opportunities. So I'd just like to ask you what challenges and opportunities you see both for REA Group and for agents or the industry.
Look, I totally agree with you. I have a philosophy that a challenge usually represents an opportunity as well. And in this market where there are fewer properties being listed for sale, there are fewer buyers out there in the market. I think it's a great opportunity for agents to grow market share by delivering fantastic service. In a market where both buyers and vendors are nervous, they are really worried about what the outcomes are going to be, I'm hearing from our customers that those who are over-communicating, over-servicing the customers in this market seem to be doing a lot better. It does take a different mindset from a market where it's hot and the buyers are queuing up out the door. So that's an opportunity. In terms of the opportunity for us, you'll see in kind of our product evolution this year, particularly around our Premier product, that we have deliberately changed some of the features on our product to cater for this market. So, for example, we've extended the number of days on our Premier All from 45 to 60. We've added the ability for an agent to list other listings that they've got on a Premier listing, so try and cross-sell. They're trying to do as much as we can to stimulate the market by promoting all of the listings, but also by bringing as many consumers through the site as we can to try and stimulate both the buy and sell part of the transaction.
REA is hosting a leadership forum in April. What are the goals for that, and where do you see REA's role in the industry moving forward?
Yeah, the industry forum's been going for about 6 years now, and it is probably one of the most important things that we do each year. It's an opportunity for us to hear from our customers about what's going on in their world and for us to take those learnings into how we provide value to the market. We're doing a little bit differently this year. We're asked our customers to actually set the agenda for what they'd like to talk about. But it is a two-way exchange. They get to provide feedback to us about what's important to them. And we give them a little bit of a look as to what we're thinking about the future for our products and services and experiences so we can get feedback from them as an early look. So it's always a really important forum for us because it helps us work on our strategy going forward. In terms of how we can help the industry, I think it's twofold. The competitive landscape for our industry is changing. There are so many other big players in the world who are looking at what we do, our customers and us, and looking to enter the space. I mean, Facebook's a classic example. They've got a marketplace now where people can list properties. And I think it's always been important for us that we're in this together. That's our philosophy, and that our customers' success is our success and our success is our customers' success. And I think we need to play a part in helping build a moat around our industry and helping stimulate that industry and keeping it strong. And I think that will keep any competition at bay.
Can you talk about any of the ways that you plan to do that?
So part of it is about making sure that we have the richest experiences around the property that you can. the one thing about the global platforms are they are global platforms, and so they can't really develop their platform for one specific market because it's the same platform in every country they're in. And so our view is we need to go hyper-local, hyper-local in terms of property data and experiences, and hyper-local in terms of the experiences that we can deliver to a consumer so that they choose us as the place to go for property and not some of the other potential offerings that are out there.
Okay, so as you know, Owen, this interview is part of a series we call The Leadership Diaries, and we ask leaders such as yourself a series of questions to gain some insights on your expertise, certainly in your career, for people in real estate who might be considering the step up or looking for some fresh ideas to reinvigorate their leadership. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Fire away.
Brilliant. So tell us, what was your first job and what did it teach you?
So I'll start off really early. I was really entrepreneurial as a child. So I used to do everything from collect all the lemons off our giant lemon tree, put them in my billy cart and sell them door to door in our neighbourhood, to stealing dad's lawnmower and doing the same mowing lawns. It certainly taught me the value of you put in the time, you put in the effort, you can make the money. My first pay job was with BHP, and I was incredibly naive coming straight out of high school. And it taught me about the need to be professional and to turn up and the benefit of putting in hard work but being willing to learn. It also taught me a bit about culture too. I have to say the culture at the time was not great. And so I learned very early on the benefit of having a healthy culture in a work environment will deliver much more than the alternative.
What does the first hour of your day look like and how does it go after that? Are you like a 5 a.m. clubber like the rest of the industry, or do you do something else?
No, so I've got four kids and they get up at stupid o'clock to either get to preschool sport or just to get to school. So I'm up at about 6:30. I'm lucky I live about 5 minutes from the office. So I'm normally in here about 7:30 with my first coffee of the day from my barista next door. And that 7:30 to 9 is gold to me. I normally try not to have any meetings. I call it my hour of power. I can churn out, I think, 3 to 4 hours of value in that hour of just being totally concentrated and immersed. And it sets you up for the day. You've cleared all of the distractions away, and then you can focus on the meetings that follow and the interactions that you have to focus on for the rest of the day.
Realestate.com.au support a program of ours called Transform, where we're talking a lot about productivity and how to manage time wisely. So from someone that probably has all the demands in the world placed on him, or one of, I would say, probably one of Australia's busiest leaders, do you have any time management or productivity tips for our listeners?
Yeah, I do. And you're right. I could put 16 hours in the diary every day, you know, if you allowed it. I think the two things that I do to manage, one is discipline, having that discipline to keep the time that you need to be effective. And so for me, there's two things that are important. One is home life and work-life balance. And the other is getting to the right people, whether they be customers or staff during the day. So as I said, I normally try to keep that 7:30 to 9 as my time. That it clears anything that's coming overnight and it sets you up for a clear mind and to focus on what you need to do for the rest of the day. I'm also very disciplined about walking out the door at 5 p.m. every day. You know, my kids, they're teenagers and they can't go past 6 o'clock without eating, quite frankly. And dinner's a big rigmarole in our house. It's always a family dinner. There's food spread out everywhere. And so that evening meal is sacrosanct to me, and it's a great time to reconnect with the family. And then once they're all in bed, sort of 8:30, 9 o'clock, then I might switch back on to work for a little while. But having that discipline, it also forces you then to decide what's important. And again, that's both sides of the ledger. What's important for me, you know, is time with family, but also within the day, having a clear view on what really will add the most value for the limited time that you've got helps you focus and prioritise. I think those two frameworks enable me to get what I have to do done and not be up until 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's good advice. What's the most important thing you're working on right now and how are you making it happen?
Right now, it's probably, again, around our consumers. We have a lot of new consumer experiences coming online. More recently, it's been things like the travel time that we put out for consumers. We've got a lot of new product offerings around rent coming out. So tenant verification was launched. But most important are our efforts to connect consumers and our customers. And so you would have seen us launch our seller lead offering into the market late last year. We've just launched agent ratings and reviews, which is very important for consumers. We want to be the trusted source of ratings. These will be verified ratings so that the person rating has been verified as having used the agent. And so these sorts of things that we think are going to help stimulate the market and, again, connect consumers and our customers.
Can you name someone that's had a tremendous impact on you as a leader?
I can. It would be someone I work with at ANZ. He had various roles across the 15 years I was at ANZ, and I ended up working for him about four times in different roles. He was, without doubt, the most rounded, effective executive I've ever met. He influenced me two ways. One was just by working for him and watching him and how he was effective. And so watching his techniques, his style, his influencing skills, a lot of what I am is probably a carbon copy of the way he went about things. But the other really valuable thing he did for me was to just give me quite frank, honest feedback. If you can contrast me at the start of the 15 years when I worked for him and the end, he knocked a lot of rough edges off me. And he did it by giving me frank feedback. And it's been a valuable lesson for me as a leader. People do value feedback, even if it is not always positive. It's the way you grow. Hearing what you're not good at or what you might not be doing as well is probably the only way you can improve yourself. And people want it. And yet so many leaders balk at giving tough feedback. And I think that he taught me a valuable lesson over 15 years by doing that for me.
It reinforces something that I was talking to someone about this morning, that feedback is a gift. Even when people give you negative feedback, it means that they care enough to give you that feedback.
That's exactly the message I give, that if it's done with care and with the intention that you want the person to improve, it will be accepted in that way. And it's valuable. You know, I'm constantly asking my team to give feedback to me. And I know it's hard to give feedback upwards. People are awkward, but I say, look, don't worry about it. I want to hear it. I need the feedback. I can't get better if I don't hear it.
We're all learning. It's a journey.
Exactly. And the journey never ends.
Absolutely. Okay. So the world of tech moves along so rapidly. As a leader, you need to keep learning and you need to stay ahead of the curve. What are some of the things you do personally to make sure that you're up to speed with the way technology is evolving, particularly in the real estate industry?
There are a couple of things I do, and I've done them both in my prior role and this one. The first is to get out and about. We are not going to come up with all the ideas within REA. And so I'm pretty religious about getting out to some big industry forums. For example, a few weeks ago, I went to the World Mobile Congress in Barcelona. It is one of the most amazing things you can ever attend. It's about two or three MCGs of people exhibiting what's happening in the world of tech. And there were robots and artificial intelligence, voice, glassless 3D and virtual reality. It's just so stimulating to see what other companies are doing, and it just gives you the ideas to bring back to REA. The other thing that's incredibly valuable, and again, it requires getting outside Australia, is to go and see other companies that operate not only just in our space, but operate like-type offerings. So I'll often go and see the leader in our industry in the UK, in the US, in Europe. And because we don't compete, it's amazing how open they will be about sharing, you know, what they're working on, what their ideas are, what their challenges are. And it's a two-way exchange. We do the same thing. But again, it just gives you that perspective that you don't get just by sitting, you know, in an office in Richmond here.
Describe your personal leadership style. So what advice would you give someone going into a leadership position for the first time?
So my style is I'm very open and inclusive. I have a view that if someone's going to be good at their job, they need context. And only the leader can give you the context. And that's everything from setting the vision as to where you'd like the company to go, but also giving them context as to what part their role plays in achieving that vision. I would say I'm very authentic. What you see is what you get. I'm the same person in REA as I am at home. And I think that helps me communicate better with people. I can't fake it. What you see is what you get. I'm quite an optimistic leader. I'm a glass half full. I think a problem is an opportunity. And that's how I try to lead my teams. In terms of new leaders, listening is really important. So it's not just about giving pronouncements from the mountaintop. I find the goal that helps me lead in this business is actually getting out and about and getting to all parts of the organisation and creating an environment where people feel safe to talk to you about everything and anything. And you pick up so much gold from that that you can then help you as a leader and help you strategise for the company.
What does leadership look like at home?
I'm not sure I'm the leader at home, actually. I do joke that maybe I've got a different role at home. I couldn't do my job seriously. I've got the most amazing family and the most amazing wife. I describe she's my head of IT. She's our head of HR. I think she's probably our CFO. not much gets done in our household without her hands on it. And quite frankly, the place would be a disaster, I think, if I was running it.
If you were to have a crystal ball in front of you right now, what do you think the future of real estate looks like?
The biggest changes, I think, going forward will be the way that consumers want to interact. And you can see that in everything they do. Ratings is a great example of that. We're now so used to rating everything that we do, whether it's your Uber, your restaurant, your hotel, agents will be the same. So the way that consumers want to interact with both agents and property, I think, will change going forward as tech allows it to. VR, augmented reality, all of those things are going to be things that consumers want. And so I see a world down the track where the way properties are presented to consumers will be very different from today. But one thing I'm fairly confident of is that the role of the agent won't change, and it's something that consumers value. And I describe that as that creation of price tension on your most valuable asset. And it's something that, well, we know that 96% of consumers still choose to use an agent because it is a skill. To create a situation where you've got that price tension between a bunch of strangers on your most valuable asset, consumers absolutely value that. You cannot digitise that. And so I think that in the future, that value that agents bring will be the key thing that consumers look for. And a lot of the other periphery things that can be digitised will be.
If there was one message that you'd like to leave everybody with as a result of listening into this interview today about real estate, about REA Group, or about leadership in general, what would it be?
Wow, that's a really broad question. I'm an absolute optimist. And so the one message I would love to leave for everybody is that, you know, we're in the middle of a cycle at the moment, and, you know, it is arguably one of the worst cycles we've seen over a decade, but it will turn. And so, you know, my message is stay the course. We are in this together. My view is that we have a symbiotic relationship with our customers, both REA and agents, and together I think we're going to succeed long past this cycle. It's become history.
Owen Wilson, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.